Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have invited us here this morning to consider you and to remember you and to look at your word. I thank you for your idea of the church, and I thank you that it is global and that it is growing and that you are the one who is leading it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have you ever been on a trip? Have you ever been on a journey? Yeah? Turn to someone next to you and tell them in a couple sentences your worst travel experience ever. Okay? Go. I thought some of you might have a journey experience. I was leading a group of teenagers in America, and our van caught on fire. That was fun. One of the teenagers got out. I'm not really into cars, but there was smoke coming out of the engine. So got out of the van, went up to the front, opened the hood. I looked in it, and I was like, I think that's fire. This other teenager was with me, was really into cars, and a little extreme, and he goes, "The van's on fire! Everybody out!" And we, you know, actually, that was one travel experience. Hannah and I spent 60 hours once coming back from America in L.A. and then in Seoul. That was great. Nathaniel enjoyed the woman's restroom in the Seoul airport once, as he was totally jet-lagged, and I woke him up and couldn't find him and looked everywhere except for the woman's bathroom. But it was last year, so no worries. I'm just kidding. It's like a long time ago. He was little. You know, there's bed bugs in Kempot that we've experienced, all sorts of things. But, you know, we've all been on a journey. Even if you've not traveled out of this country, that's okay. You've traveled still, and you know what it is like to journey. And this morning, we're privileged to look at some psalms that are all about a journey, a trip. The Songs of Ascent, also called the Pilgrim Psalms, or the Pilgrim Songs. We're going to look at these. It's a journey that the people of Israel were on about three times a year as they traveled to Jerusalem for festivals. This is a journey down a road that God followers have been on for a long, long time. And I want us to be aware of this. The idea originally was to look at a bunch of them today, and I think we might get to two of them because they're just kind of dense. So we're going to look at the Psalms 120 is where we're starting. I encourage you, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open that up in your own language too. That's great. Psalm 120 is where we're going to be starting in just a minute. These are songs on the way to somewhere, on the way to Jerusalem. From wherever you've come from, on the way to God. Now, this is interesting for us as believers in the church because we don't have to journey anymore to get to the presence of God. That's part of the amazing truth of the gospel, is that God has journeyed to us. And how this works is a mystery to me, but we know that they're both still true. God has journeyed to us, and still we journey towards him. He has made his home among us, and still we are longing to go home. We have found our home in him, and we are still journeying towards home, aren't we? We're still on the way to Jerusalem. We're still on the way to the city of the King. We're on our way to worship. We're trying to find the presence of God. And there's beautiful hope for us in these psalms. There's 15 of these songs of ascent, these pilgrim psalms. One writer says of these that the first of these was to be used when the people were preparing for their departure and suffering delays because of their enemies. Not just because of the airlines, but suffering delays because of their enemies. The second of these psalms is to be sung on the journey. The third, upon their arrival into Jerusalem. Can you feel that?
This is where we go to worship God. We have arrived in the city of David, where our hope lies, where the presence of God is made manifest among his people. This is huge. The fourth is regarding the building of the city and the temple. So there's historical meaning in these psalms, but there's also very much a right now meaning, and we're going to explore part of both of those. Now, I mentioned this. Good Jews would journey to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year for some of the big festivals. They would have sung these songs on the way as the people of God. And so we're going to join in that tradition this morning. Jesus would have sung these psalms on his way to Jerusalem throughout his life. Now, one writer, speaking of these 15 songs, says, more than half of them are cheerful, but all of them are hopeful. More than half of them are cheerful, but all of them are hopeful. And so I just want to pause right here and say, you do not have to be cheerful to be hopeful. And sometimes people think that you do. Sometimes people think that you have to be cheerful all along the road, and that's just not true. There is hope all along the road, but it's not always cheerful. It's not always fun. It's possible to be very aware of the pain and the sadness and the sorrow and filled to the brim with hope. Those are not contraindicated. They can exist at the same time. William Faulkner wrote this about these psalms. He says, they are not monuments, but footprints. These psalms are footprints, he says. A monument only says, at least I got this far. While a footprint says, this is where I was when I moved again. This is where I was when I moved again on a journey. You know, I work as a pastoral counselor, so I talk about feelings and emotions a lot. So I just did a brief overview of these and just wrote down what are the things that I see in here. And look at this list. There's liars, there's deceit, there's hate, there's peace, there's people who want war, there's contempt, there's people who are fed up with contempt, there's crying out to God, there's searching for peace, there's suffering, there's pain, there's tired of living, there's hope, there's look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from God. There's all these things. There's gladness. There's praying for peace. There is lifting up my eyes. There's mercy. There's prayer for mercy. There's almost swallowed alive. Almost overwhelmed. There's praise. There is, I'm not dead. It's fantastic. There's, we escaped. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord. There's anger. There's raging fury. There's all of this on the journey, on the road to Jerusalem. So, we're going to step into this and see where the road leads. And we cannot mine the depths of these truths. We cannot dig up all the jewels, but maybe our brief discussion here today, my hope, is that it will cause some of you to go home this week and open up your scriptures to the chapters, Psalm 120 and following, the 15 after that. Okay, so let me read Psalm 120 to you. Remember, context, these are songs that are sung by the people of God on the way. Psalm 120. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far-off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I am tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace. But when I speak of peace, they want war. Psalm 120. The first of the pilgrim psalms. At the beginning we see, I took my troubles and he answered. There is a very deep memory here. I am remembering that I cry out, he answers. He's done it in the past. he'll do it now. And I want you to see that as we start here. In my distress, I cried out. A lot of times, the journey starts with distress. It starts with, I'm not okay with the way things are right near here. I need to go there. And in that distress is a remembering. I cry out with confidence. I cry out with absolute confidence today. Because the last time I cried out, I was heard by the God who sees me and by the God who hears. So no matter what's going to happen on this journey, no matter what's coming down the road, I remember that he sees and that he cares and that he responds. And I encourage you to remember that at whatever point of the journey you were on. Now, for the majority of the people who are singing this song, they also remember that they've been there before. They've been to Jerusalem before. They would have gone last year. But they're remembering there is a destination here. But you know, not everybody who was making the journey remembers, because maybe it's their first time. And they can borrow the experience of the people next to them. And you can too. Maybe you're not quite sure. If I cry out, is there a God who hears me? You may not know. You may have never experienced that before. Borrow the faith of the person next to you. Because maybe they have. Maybe they have been down the road before. And sometimes we all need to borrow the faith of our brother or sister who is next to us, who can say, I know you can't see it, but Jerusalem is still there. Let's go to the presence of God. Sometimes we need people. That's why God invented the church. One of the reasons. These people have been to Jerusalem. They've walked the streets. They've heard the songs. They've smelled the incense. They've stood before God and survived. And they remember. Okay. Then verse 2 comes. There will be liars. Boom. The fun is done. I remember I cried out to God. There will be liars. There will be pain. There will be drama. My kids make fun of me sometimes. It's like, are you preaching? Are you preaching about grief? No. Sadness? No. Well, you always talk about grief and sadness. I talk about other stuff too. Come on. What was the other thing you said? Huh? Death. Oh yeah, death and heaven? No. Well, sort of. Here we go. There will be pain and drama and very hard things. It starts in the journey here. We're like 1 kilometer down the road and the tire's flat and the kids are screaming and somebody really needs a diaper change. Have you ever experienced that? We just got in the car. That's what's going on here. So, if you've ever been lied about, I think you'll enjoy verses 2 through 4. Again, we read them already, but let me read them again. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. Let me just say, do not be surprised, Christian, when on the road you run into liars and difficult things. Do not be surprised. Everyone who's walked this journey before you has too. Once someone accused me of saying some really, really awful things. Big impact on people that I love. And I said, I actually never said that. And they said, well, you're just so arrogant. You don't know that you said it. I'm like, I don't know. I just am saying I literally never said those things that you say I said. Lies can be devastating things that blow up friendships and relationships all along the road. They destroy trust. They hack at its foundation. Lies do, in fact, wound. And if you're a liar, just stop it right now. Lies do wound, but God, and that's where I love verses 3 and 4. God's arrows fly true. They are truth. And God's judgment is real. And it will be. Sometimes we need to be reminded that God actually does, in fact, reign. And for these people who are starting off on a journey, they've got to remember this. God does, in fact, reign. And there will be justice. Most of the time, we can do nothing about the lies or the one who is lying. But God can, and he eventually does. He is full of mercy and grace and justice. All right, verse 5 and 7. How I suffer in far-off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I am tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. Now, this is very interesting because the people of Israel never sojourned. They never sort of existed in Meshech or Kedar. They didn't. You read the psalm, well, yeah, they lived there. No, they didn't. In fact, one of these places is way far up in the north, and the other one is way far down in the south. Meshech was famous for its slave trade. And Kedar was renowned for its warriors, its violence. And so when you put these two things together, as they are in this chapter, the psalmist and then the people of Israel who are singing are saying, from way up here to way down here, all things that are foreign, but not just things that are foreign, all things that are hostile and against God and the people of God. They're tired of living in those places, and they're journeying back to Jerusalem, back to their people, back to the presence of God. Do you feel that? There's longing and hope. Just the word homeland makes me cry. Have you ever sensed that? Have you ever felt that feeling of not really belonging? I feel it in Cambodia all the time. Especially at Aeon, getting my driver's license renewed. I do not feel like I belong here. But it's not just Cambodia. When I go back to America now, after being here 7 years, I feel exactly the same thing. So I'm not blaming Cambodia. I go back to America, and I'm like, wow, I do not really fit in here. Do you ever feel that? These people felt that. It's okay to voice these things. It's okay to sing these things. And they did. Now remember the context. This is a song sung by God's people as they make the journey up towards Jerusalem. They are facing the temple of the living God. That is where they belong. And that is where I belong. And that is where you belong. As a child of God. And that's what keeps this from turning into just devastation and despair. They're saying, yes, I'm far from home. I am among a cruel and hostile people. But I am on my way home. With everything that that entails, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. That is where I belong. Have you ever grown tired of the immorality around you? The lying, the violence, the people that you live among? Remember, I'm not primarily talking about Cambodia. I'm not saying Cambodia is a bad place, because I used to work at a hospital in downtown Kansas City where we had assault victims all the time. We had gunshot victims all the time. We had people dying all the time. There was violence and horror where I came from. Do you ever get tired of that? Maybe not. But if you do, remember this song. Because it may be time for you to ascend the hill to Jerusalem, to walk up the steps to the temple of the living God, to be in the presence of God. Now, the people who were making this journey, they didn't get to stay in Jerusalem. They got to be there, and then they had to leave. They had to go back. That's sad. That is really, really difficult. They would have to return. They would have to leave the presence of God. And I do not have to do that anymore. And you don't either. Yay. This is amazing. God has made his home among us. The presence of the living God goes with us when we go. And you'll see that in other psalms as we get to them in the next few times that I share. By the grace of God, he has made his dwelling with us. And yet, we can still forget to connect. Does that make sense? Jesus may be right here. I may be standing in the presence of God, but if I am not aware of his presence, it might as well be 1,000 miles away. You understand what I'm saying? So Maybe you're a believer. Maybe the presence of God is accessible to you. But maybe it's been a long, long time since you have made yourself aware of his presence. And you have made the journey. Sometimes you've made the journey. Maybe it's been a long, long time. And maybe you need to journey to God. Even now. So, just a word for those who've maybe never made the trip. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? This is really philosophical or theoretical or theological or some complicated word. What do you mean? Well, you know, if that's you, let this be your like Travelocity or like trip advisor kind of thing. The presence of God is home. And if you're not sure how to get there, talk to a friend of yours who is a believer. You don't have to talk to a pastor. It's not like we're the only ones who know the road. Talk to a Christian, somebody who knows Jesus that you know, and say, "How do you? What is he talking about? What does that mean?" And if you get asked that question, Christian, show them the way because you've walked it, and say, "Hey, why don't you come with me?
This is your first time towards Jerusalem, towards the city of the King. It's going to be amazing. Let me show you."
And remember, this is so cool, when you turn towards God, you'll find that he's already made the journey to you. Wow. Okay. We could end there. We could just wrap up there. But there's another psalm here, Psalm 121. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and flip to 121. Oh, we've got a screen now. Perfect. Okay, so what I'd like to ask you to do, since we've got this, is read it with me.
This was the people of Israel would have done. They would have sung it together. So read this with me, okay? I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go,
both now and forevermore. Amen. This is a psalm for the journey. You know, for many of us, travel is not dangerous. But for many, many people in the world, travel is still very dangerous. And in this context, travel was dangerous. It's traditional, actually, it's still tradition for Jewish people to take this psalm and put it in the labor and delivery room. So when the mom is pregnant and she's having the baby, they will have this psalm there. And if you've ever read anything about pregnancy or childbirth, people actually talk about it as it is a journey. They talk about the signposts of labor and all this stuff. So I think it's real interesting that you will find this in maternity wards among the Jewish people. Because this is a pilgrim psalm, labor and delivery. The psalm reminds us of a very, very big truth. And again, there's so much in these. We just barely scratched the surface. But one of the big truths I want to focus on for the rest of the time here today is this idea that our God is not sleepy. It sounds kind of silly, but we actually forget this. So just say it with me. Say, he is not sleepy. Say, God is not sleepy. Okay, so with me, here we go. God is not sleepy. One more time, just to make sure you're not.
God is not sleepy.
He is not a night watchman who falls asleep. We don't have to wake him up to do his job. And sometimes I think we act like that. We're like, hey, if we're not loud enough, God's not going to hear us. I mean, there's truth to the judge, you know, where you Jesus talks about persistent prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us really acting like God is, kind of hard of hearing and maybe taking a nap. And so we got to wake him up to do his job. No, he never slumbers. He never sleeps. You know, I think you could say that's how Jesus slept in the boat, right? During the storm. Jesus knew that he could sleep because his father wasn't. Have you ever been in that place where you knew you could go to sleep because your dad was watching? Yeah. Have you ever been in an airport and needed someone to stay up to watch your bags? Just raise your hand, I'm curious. This is my experience, I don't know. Maybe I'm just always afraid someone's going to steal my stuff. Maybe I'm just paranoid. One of the worst airport experiences I had was being the dad And after a long bit of travel, I think we were in Chicago, like where Pastor Ann's from, so definitely on guard. And all of my family is asleep because they're asleep. And I sat there awake watching the stuff. And they could sleep. We haven't really talked about this, but I assume they could sleep just fine because I was not. I could not sleep. You get one eye open, every little noise. Rah! Maybe it's because I worked in an ER. I just always think someone's out to get me. But that's my own. I should probably talk to a therapist about that. But so if there's someone you trust to stay awake, you can sleep, right? That's what these people on a trip are talking about. They're saying, there is a God who does not sleep. Therefore, I can. Therefore, I can rest. Therefore, I can have a calm confidence that it's okay and that it's taken care of. Why is this important? Because there is danger on the road. I mentioned this before, but there is danger on the road. There's an old Christian band in America, and they wrote a song. It always makes, well, you guys are like, you always cry. Yeah, this song always makes me cry because it's written, these guys used to be like cool young guys, now they're all dads. And so their music has changed, and they wrote a song as a dad speaking to their sons. It's called Boys, or Lesson One. And in the song, they speak this line, there will be liars and thieves who steal from you. This is a father speaking to his son. There will be liars and thieves who steal from you. There is danger on the road. In my job as a counselor, most of what I do is sit with people and listen to them tell the story of the ways they have lost stuff and of the people who have stolen from them. Whatever it was that was stolen. There will be liars. There will be thieves who steal from you. There will be unexpected hazards. There will be people you thought were there for you who are not. There will be people you thought were great Christ-like examples who turn out to maybe not be. We do, in fact, need protection. We do need a God who does not slumber, who does not sleep, who is never too tired to care about what's going on. Good news is, he is that kind of God who does not slumber and does not sleep. Our souls absolutely need protection. So let these words wash over you on the journey. I'm going to read some from that chapter. Let these, if you are on the journey and you're in the middle of feeling that stuff, not in the safety of home, but the safety on the road, in the middle of the danger, listen. He will not let you stumble. Listen. Listen, the Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. It is not safe because the journey is safe. It is safe because he is good. I just want to make some quick notes about verse 7. You go ahead and put verse 7 back on the screen if you can there. Verse 7 says, the Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. And that could be interpreted. So yeah, there you go. Read that with me, okay, just so we really get it. Verse 7. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Now that could be interpreted to mean that God will keep you from all bad things always. He will keep you from all harm. But that would be a very incorrect, wrong interpretation of that scripture. Plus, it doesn't make any sense when you look at the people of God in the Bible. You look at the prophets, you look at the apostles, you look at John the Baptist, and you look at Jesus himself. Well, did God keep them from all harm? No. It doesn't seem that way if we interpret it that way. If you look at the word that's used, some versions translate it evil, that God will keep you from all evil. The Hebrew word is also this like massive calamity, like the worst thing possible. God will keep you from that. Yeah, evil, absolute calamity. And I want to talk about the difference between these two words, something that hurts and something that is harmful. This has been very freeing for me. Does it hurt or is it harmful? And we're going to talk about how God keeps us from all harm, but maybe he does not keep us from all hurt. There's a big, big difference in there. One commentary regarding this verse says, all evil will be averted from him who has Jehovah for his keeper. All right? So all evil will be, you know, kept away from the follower of God. Therefore, if any so-called evil comes, when the evil comes, the believer may be sure that it is good with a veil on. When the evil comes, the believer can be sure that it is good with a veil. And I read that and I was like, I do not like that. I think it's true, but I do not like that. But let me just say this. It may have started off evil when it left that person's mouth or when it left that person's hand. It may have started off evil, but it has to go through God. And he is the protector. And he is the king. And he does not sleep. And he is really strong. And he's really good at taking what was meant for evil and converting it before it reaches me. Now, it may still hurt me, but God is able to keep it from harming me. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a big difference between hurt and harm. Now, this idea, please do not preach this idea at somebody who's in the hospital or at somebody who just lost a child. This is not for them. This is for you. Do not shove this down somebody's throat. Say, I heard this in the church. No, this is for you. If you show up and somebody's in the middle of pain and suffering, you be a compassionate, loving person to them. Don't shove this theology down their throat. I will not be happy. Please, do not do that. But you need to remember that it may have left their mouth as evil, but by the time it gets to me, it can be good with a veil on it because it has to go through God. Now, there's a lot of mystery there, and there's a lot of sovereignty of God questions there that I do not understand all of it, but I do believe that's true. And this is a song that the people of Israel sung on their way to the presence of God. Okay, back to the idea of this hurt versus harm. Have you ever been to the dentist? People are like, what? Yeah, that's a stupid question. When you go to the dentist, are they going to hurt you? Maybe, especially if you've not been brushing flossing. Yeah, but they may do something that hurts you. Are they going to harm you? Hopefully not. Okay? I used to work as an ER trauma nurse. I hurt people all the time. I stuck people with needles all day long. I hurt people. That sounds so bad. And I'm a pastor. But, you know, I would pray for them while I was hurting them. But I hurt people all the time. But what that patient is counting on is that I am not going to harm them. Does that make sense? All right, we see this in parenting example in Hebrews chapter 12. Our earthly fathers disciplined us, in verse 10, for a few years doing the best they knew how. God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. Proverbs uses the example of a friend. Wounds or hurt from a friend are what? Better than kisses from an enemy. There's this idea that somebody that really loves me might still hurt me in order to help, but I'm counting on them not harming me. So when this says the Lord keeps you from all harm, we're talking absolute evil and calamity, but it does not mean that God will keep you from all hurt. The goal in all this is not to explain everything in these psalms, but to invite you into these songs of ascent. So, just as a reminder, these are Psalms 120 to 134. The next time I share here next month, we'll be catching up and coming back to these. But let me just simply remind you through these that you are a pilgrim. You are on a journey. Even if you're a Cambodian who's never left Cambodia, that's okay. As a believer, you are absolutely on a journey and living in a foreign land. All of us are. And these psalms are the old paths. These songs, these prayers are the old ways of believers on their way towards God. So let me just encourage you, keep to the old paths. Keep to the ancient roads. And maybe sometime this week, find a Bible and open it up to the last 15 these 15 chapters known as the Songs of Ascent. I'm going to invite the worship team to sing one song, and then we're going to read one more of these together as we wrap up today. So I just invite you to stand, and let's pray. And then after this next song, we'll read one more of these pilgrim psalms together. God, I thank you that you are not a sleepy God. You are not a God who requires us to jostle you and wake you up and say, don't you see? I thank you that you're a God who allows us to say, wow, I am fed up with where I'm at. I'm tired of living among people who are against me and who are against you. And God, I thank you that you give hope that at the end of this journey, and even right now, this time, because it's a gift of Jesus, we can turn our face towards your presence. We can make ourselves aware of who you are, where you are, and what you are doing. And we can rest because of who you are. Yes, God, there will be lions. Yes, there will be thieves who steal from us. But there is also you. And your arrows of truth fly straight. And your coals, they burn lightless. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you still call your people to make the journey towards you. And then in this mystery, we thank you that even after the calling, you have come and made your home among us. few. They're going to keep playing. And I just invite you to close your eyes and listen to this song of our people on the way. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat, what if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken, and we are free. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Read this psalm with me. Let's start back in verse 1, Psalm 124, verse 1. As the people of the King, let us sing this song. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives.
Hold on for just a second. All of those would-haves. All of those would-haves.
But verse 6. Praise the Lord. Say that again with me. Praise the Lord. We did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap.
The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It does not come from the mountains. It comes from the King. It comes from our God who does not slumber. He does not sleep.
I don't have to wake him up. He is here and he sees you and he knows you and he hears you and he wants to love you and he wants to call you
into his presence where he is good.
And his arrows fly straight, and he is just, and whom you call, he will answer.
Let's sing that chorus again.